Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, My Age of Anxiety, Fear, Hope, Dread, and The Search for Peace of Mind is a non-fiction work by Scott Stossel that combines memoir, cultural history, psychology, psychiatry, and medical journalism. Stossel, a journalist and editor, uses his lifelong experience with severe anxiety as the entry point for a broader investigation into one of the most common and misunderstood mental health conditions. The book is not a conventional self-help manual and does not promise a cure. Its purpose is to clarify what anxiety feels like from the inside, how it has been interpreted across centuries, and why treatment remains complicated despite major scientific advances. Stossel moves between personal episodes, family history, philosophical reflection, clinical research, and the history of medications and therapies. The result is a layered account of anxiety as both a disabling disorder and a deeply human condition shaped by biology, temperament, culture, and social expectations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anxiety is presented as both private suffering and a widespread human condition. A central strength of My Age of Anxiety is the way Scott Stossel links his own severe symptoms to the broader prevalence of anxiety disorders. The book does not treat anxiety as a rare eccentricity or a simple failure of courage. Instead, it presents anxiety as a condition that appears across cultures, social classes, historical periods, and levels of achievement. Stossel describes panic, phobias, dread, gastrointestinal distress, and performance terror not to make his case exceptional, but to show how extreme private experience can illuminate a general human vulnerability. This approach helps reduce stigma because it separates anxiety from moral weakness. The anxious person is not merely overreacting or lacking discipline. The condition involves patterns of perception, bodily response, expectation, and fear that can be deeply involuntary. At the same time, Stossel does not romanticize anxiety. He shows that it can be humiliating, exhausting, and functionally limiting. The book therefore holds two ideas together. Anxiety is common enough to be part of the human condition, but it can also become clinically disabling when fear overwhelms ordinary life. Secondly, the memoir structure gives clinical anxiety a concrete bodily and social reality. Although the book is heavily researched, its memoir element is essential because anxiety is difficult to understand through definitions alone. Stossel describes episodes involving public speaking, travel, social exposure, medical fears, and bodily panic, giving the reader a practical sense of how anxiety invades ordinary situations. These accounts matter because clinical anxiety is not only a thought pattern. It is experienced through sweating, nausea, trembling, avoidance, shame, and the constant anticipation of catastrophe. The social dimension is equally important. Anxiety can turn ceremonies, professional obligations, family events, and travel into tests of endurance. By making these situations specific, Stossel shows why advice such as simply calm down misunderstands the condition. His success as a journalist also complicates the stereotype that severe anxiety makes achievement impossible. The book shows a life marked by high functioning and deep impairment at the same time. This tension is one of its most realistic contributions. Anxiety may not always prevent accomplishment, but it can make accomplishment far more costly than outsiders recognize. Thirdly, historical and philosophical perspectives show that anxiety predates modern diagnosis. Stossel places anxiety within a long intellectual history rather than treating it as a purely modern invention. The book refers to ancient philosophical, religious, psychoanalytic, and medical attempts to explain dread, fear, nervousness, and inner unrest. This historical range matters because it shows that anxiety has been named differently across eras, but the core experience has persisted. Earlier thinkers often connected anxiety with the soul, morality, temperament, courage, or existential freedom. Modern psychiatry classifies it through diagnostic categories and symptoms, but the problem itself is older than contemporary clinical language. Stossel uses this history to make two points. First, anxiety is not merely produced by modern stress, although modern life may intensify or reshape it. Second, every explanatory framework has limits. Philosophy can illuminate dread and choice. Psychoanalysis can explore conflict, and neuroscience can study brain circuits, but none fully exhausts the experience. The book gains depth from this pluralism. It resists reducing anxiety to one cause, one era, or one discipline. Fourthly, the treatment history reveals progress without offering a simple cure narrative. My Age of Anxiety surveys many attempts to relieve anxiety, including psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, exposure-based approaches, medications, and less conventional interventions. Stossel is particularly valuable because he writes as someone who has tried many forms of treatment while also examining them as a reporter. The resulting picture is neither anti-treatment nor naively optimistic. Medications can reduce symptoms for some people, but effects vary and side effects can be significant. Therapy can provide insight, coping strategies, or desensitization, but it is not always quick or complete. Different theories of anxiety lead to different treatments, and no single model explains every case. Stossel emphasizes this variability without dismissing the real relief that treatment can offer. This makes the book more honest than many simplified accounts of mental health. It recognizes that anxiety management often involves trial, error, partial improvement, relapse, and adaptation. The practical implication is modest, but important treatment should be individualized, and a lack of perfect recovery should not be mistaken for personal failure. Lastly, the book examines the uneasy link between anxiety, achievement, and civilization. One of the more nuanced ideas in the book is that anxiety may have destructive and productive aspects. Stossel explores the argument that anxious vigilance can be connected to creativity, preparation, moral seriousness, social sensitivity, and even cultural development. Fear of failure can push people to rehearse, plan, study, and anticipate risk. In that sense, some degree of anxiety may serve adaptive purposes. However, the book is careful not to turn suffering into a simple advantage. Clinical anxiety is not just useful alertness. It can become paralyzing, self-reinforcing, and corrosive to ordinary pleasure. The value of this discussion lies in its balance. Stossel does not say anxiety is good, because some high achievers have suffered from it, and he does not say anxiety is meaningless pathology. Instead, he treats it as an overgrown version of capacities that human beings need imagination, foresight, caution, and sensitivity to danger. This framing helps explain why anxiety is so persistent. It grows from mental abilities that are useful until they become excessive. In conclusion, My Age of Anxiety is best suited for readers who want to understand anxiety in depth rather than receive a checklist of coping techniques. It will be especially useful for people who live with anxiety, relatives or friends trying to understand it, mental health students, clinicians interested in patient experience, and general readers drawn to the intersection of science, memoir, and cultural history. Its practical benefit is not a direct treatment program. Instead, it offers recognition, perspective, and a more precise language for experiences that are often hidden by shame, intellectually. The book helps readers see anxiety as a condition shaped by biology, family temperament, medical theory, culture, and philosophical questions about uncertainty and control. Compared with many self-help books, it stands out for its refusal to simplify. Compared with purely academic works, it stands out because the personal narrative keeps the analysis grounded in lived experience. Stossel does not present himself as cured or as an expert standing outside the problem. That position gives the book unusual credibility. It is a candid, researched, and humane account of what anxiety can do to a life and of how a person may still build a serious, productive life while carrying it. If you would like to support Scott Stossel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.